Good morning. Thank you, Jake and the worship team. And thank you to Chris as well for sharing your hearts about what a difference knowing the Lord and his people can make in your life. So, thank you. So we'll start with the story. Back in my college days, I was an accounting major, and the big accounting firms would come to campus for about a month to recruit accounting students. And they'd take us all out for fun activities and dinners and happy hours, and you'd be getting to know the firms would be getting to know you. It was kind of like a tame business version of Rush for us nerdy accounting students. And during this process, the firms would do interviews as well. They'd narrow down their lists, and eventually they'd offer internships to students. And I did my internship with an accounting firm called Deloitte. And during the internship, unless you really mess things up, the firms were still kind of in a recruiting mode where they're trying to get you to work for them full-time after you graduated. And so during the internship, there are a lot of group activities and free dinners and that, plus your work time together, your trainings together, means that you got to know your internship class pretty well. And then after my internship, I agreed to work with Deloitte full-time. But around that same time, God was stirring some things in my heart for him, some things in my heart around full-time vocational ministry. And when I was about to graduate from college, the church I was at asked if I would stick around and intern with their college ministry full-time. So I did that for 2 years, and Deloitte very graciously let me defer my start date for 2 years. So then fast forward 2 years later, I'm starting at Deloitte in their Dallas office, and they start the time with you. The full-time employment there with a week of new hires training. And so you get together with new hires from all over the country in the training, so everybody's getting to know each other. But during the meals and in the evenings, people tended to stick with their local office. And so at lunch on my first day of training, I went up to a table of fellow Dallas office new hires and introduced myself and sit down. And they introduced themselves back. And I pick up quickly that these folks intern together, and that they are good friends. And so I try to jump in the conversation. I'm trying to ask questions to get to know them. But their curt answers and their body language spoke volumes about their lack of interest in getting to know this new guy. And so before, you know, lunchtime is even over, I just eat quickly and say, hey, nice to meet you guys. And I get some mild smiles back, no teeth sort of smiles. And I get up from the lunch table, and I'm walking to throw my trash away. And I look around, and I see all these tables of new hires engaging with each other who had did their internship together. You know, I did mine 2 years before, so I didn't know any of them. And I see all these people who already know each other, already in relationship, relating over a meal as I'm by myself with the trash can. And I get this sense of disquietness within me as I feel alone in that moment. And so I bet I'm not the only one here, unfortunately, who's felt that way before. You know, we were designed by our relational God for good relationships. And so it's painful when relationships don't work out the way we want them to. We don't experience that goodness. Whether it's, you know, feeling disconnected like I did, or whether it's, you know, your best friend moves away, whether it's feeling betrayed by someone you trusted, your relationships can just be really hard. You know, we've got a lot of things that work against good relationships. You know, you're busy, other people are busy, the digital world distracts us, everybody's got problems. We all have sin struggles that end up hurting others at times. You know, we've got different personalities, different priorities in life. Sometimes we've got to move and start over with all our relationships, or sometimes we don't move, but the people close to us move, and we've got to start over in relationships. And when we have these kind of struggles, as well as people getting sick, people even passing away, there's just a lot of challenges when it comes to relationships. And, of course, these challenges aren't just out there in broader society. They're in the church as well. You know, we can have a struggle with relationships even here within the church family. And so when we don't have those good relationships, it can harm our well-being. can harm even our physical health, and it can really impact as well all the people around us when we feel disconnected. But on the other hand, when relationships flourish, that can be a real game changer in our lives. Not only can good church relationships make a huge impact in your life, but if you're a parent, how you do or don't engage with Christ's body here is speaking a lot to your kids about the importance of the faith. And so church relationships matter. And so why don't we go to God now and ask for his help with this and then look to his word for guidance. Father, we come in here now with many joys and sorrows in our relationships, in different places and in need of different things. We ask that you would touch all of our hearts and minds through your word this morning by your Spirit, that you would help me to speak it faithfully, and that you would help us after the service as well in the ways we engage with each other, that there would be more and more steps towards the life-changing kind of relationships you want us to experience here. And God, we need your help with this desperately. And so we're asking you to be at the center of our relationships. We're asking you for help now in this time and as we leave this place. And so we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. So today we're going to talk about good relationships from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you've got a Bible or a Bible app, you can open to 1 Corinthians 12. And if you don't, no worries. We'll have the verses up on the screen this morning. And if you're new to reading the Bible, the big numbers you see are chapter numbers, and the little numbers are verse numbers there. And again, we're 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As you're opening there, I'll share some background. 1 Corinthians is a letter written by Paul to a church. Paul was a really important church leader in the very early church, and he was writing this letter to the church in the ancient city of Corinth. That church was a mess relationally. We won't get into all the details, but there was division, a lot of immoral living, mistreatment of each other, unhealthy conflict, a lot of self-importance amongst the people. And so in chapter 12, Paul writes here some guidance on good relationships for that church family that also have wisdom for us as a church family too. And because it's about the church, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is addressing Christians. So if you're here this morning and you don't yet identify as a follower of Jesus, we want you to know that we want you to enjoy good relationships here too, even as the passage is talking about Christian relationships. And so let's, serve our community together. You're very welcome to jump in, and we can pack some food bags together, teach English as a second language class with us, or if you want to connect and explore the faith together in one of our small group Bible studies, we're delighted you're here and would love to connect. And now why don't we explore 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. So God here has designed two bodies, our physical human bodies and the body of Christ, the metaphorical body of Christ, which is the church. And when we're talking about the church here, we're not talking about the building this morning, we're talking about the people of the church or the body of Christ. And what these verses are showing us is that the way God's designed the human body teaches us how we are to function together as Christ's body. And the first thing we see in these verses is that in Christ's body, you really belong. Now, these verses make it clear that just as the physical parts of a body, like the hand and foot and eye, all belong together to that one body, so every believer in Jesus here belongs to this body of Christ. And verse 13 shows us that worldly divisions can't keep us from this belonging. Back then people were divided as Jews versus Gentiles and slaves versus free. But for them back then, as well as for us today, whatever our differences, you know, whatever our races, our nationalities, our socioeconomic statuses, politics, you know, theological distinctives, diverse spiritual gifts, even the different sports teams we root for, whatever all differences are represented in this room, we, the English and Spanish-speaking believers of Northwest, all belong to Jesus and to one another. And I bet you've experienced feeling like you don't belong somewhere, as I did at New Hire Training. But when it comes to church, there are no spiritual orphans in God's family. No matter how disconnected this morning you might feel, or different you might feel, or what conflict might be there, verse 13 is powerfully reminding us that we all belong to Jesus and to one another. You know, verse 13 says that the Spirit of God himself baptized you into Christ's body. And so that's the final word on the matter, that you belong here. And so let's live like it this morning, helping each other to experience that belonging that we already possess in Jesus. You know, when I had left that unfriendly lunch table on the first day of training, I was just as much a Deloitte new hire as everyone else there, but I sure didn't feel like it. And so the next day at lunch, with some trepidation this time, I sat down with another group from the Dallas office and introduced myself. They introduced themselves back, and I again picked up quickly that they had all interned together and that they were good friends with each other. And so I tried to jump in the conversation, and I asked questions, trying to get to know them. To my relief, this group was a lot more open to the new guy. And we, over time, things began to click as we shared some similarities, and this day, I didn't leave the lunch table early. I was no longer experiencing that disquietness within, as I now felt a sense of belonging there among the new hires. And so what a blessing it is when we experience this sense of belonging. And what an opportunity we have here to help each other to feel that belonging too. You know, none of us can be close friends with everybody, and some of us are more extroverted than others. But we can all strive in our own ways and our personality to help others here to feel like they belong, because we all do. And when a new person comes and visits our church, may we all be more like that second table of new hires than like the first. Now, you can look at your phone all week, so when you're here, why don't we just put them in our pockets and look around and see who is someone that I could give a sense of welcome to here, a sense of belonging. Now, if you're new and just want to check things out from a distance, we totally get that here, and we want to give you space for that. But we also want you to know that our heart is for everyone here to experience more than just an occasional attendance experience, merely an observation experience. We want everyone to feel connected to Christ's body. And helping each other to feel that sort of sense of belonging is one of many ways that you're needed here in this church. And we see that reality starting in verse 17. It says, "If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." So here in these verses, Paul continues to compare the metaphorical body of Christ to a human body. You know, as the eye, the ear, and the nose are all enriched by each other, so we are to be enriched by the diversity of gifts here in Christ's body. You know, like the parts of a human body, we all have functions and need each other. You know, God's Spirit works in you, yes, you, in ways that this body needs. And notice, as verse 18 says, that God does not haphazardly arrange the members of a church. That verse 18 says that you have been placed here just in Christ's body, just where he wants you to be. And so there's no room for thinking that you're not needed here, that your gifts don't matter. You know, that first table of new hires, they may not have needed relationship with me at all, but you are needed here. Verse 18 says that you have been placed at Northwest by God himself to bless this body. And so if you're on the sidelines this morning, only observing, only consuming, we need you in the game. There are people here who need your relationship with them to be more than just when our bossy pants worship leader tells us to say hi to each other. There are people here who need your gifts, your service, your prayers. It's like the parts of the human body working together for the common good of the entire body. That's what it's like here in Christ's body. And I thank God that so many of you here know that you're needed and that you bring your gifts to this body, blessing the body as well as the community around us. You know, without your servants' hearts, we are never going to experience the sort of relationships that we all long for. So may your tribe increase. And thank you for helping us to get to know God better. You know, my favorite illustration of this comes from C.S. Lewis's book, The Four Loves. C.S. Lewis talks about being part of a group called the Inklings. It was some Christian authors who got together with each other to critique each other's work, as well as just talk about life and God together. And two of Lewis's closest friends in the group were Charles Williams and J.R.R. Tolkien. And sadly, over time, eventually Charles Williams passed away, and Lewis was really bummed about this, and so he was trying to help himself to feel better in his grief. And so he thought about how at least he would get to enjoy more of Tolkien now that he didn't have to share him with Charles Williams. But to Lewis's disappointment, he actually experienced less of Tolkien over time. For Williams's unique personality and humor brought out things in Tolkien that C.S. Lewis's personality just didn't. That Lewis by himself was not enough. That it took their whole group of friends to really know Tolkien. And as Lewis observes in the book, if that is true of a mere man, how much more true is that of God? That you can't really explore the riches of knowing God unless you really know the body of Christ. So we need your spiritual gifts, your ministry passions, your personality, your culture, your testimony here. As C.S. Lewis said it, for every soul, seeing God in her own way, communicates that unique vision to all the rest. The more we thus share the heavenly bread between us, the more we shall all have. So there's nothing greater than knowing Jesus, and we need you for that pursuit. You know, there are people here who need your spiritual gifts, your ministry passions, to know Jesus better. There are people here that need your insights or teaching or testimony to know Jesus better. There are people here who need your generosity or service or prayers to know Jesus better. And this C.S. Lewis illustration here shows not only that you're needed, that we need you to know God, but also that you're in need, that you need us to know God too. And the passage says this as well. We see that starting in verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, where our presentable parts need no special treatment. In verse 21 and on, Paul is making the point that all of the parts of the body are essential. That just as the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you, so you can't say that you don't need the members of Christ's body here. You're in need. In verse 22, Paul strongly reinforces this idea by saying that even the parts of Christ's body that seem to be weaker are actually indispensable for all of us. These verses remind you that you can't grow yourself into maturity in Jesus. So don't strain to be complete by yourself. Jesus gifted his body for you. As one of my seminary professors liked to say, the Bible shows us that if you're trying to do spiritual growth by yourself, you're doing it wrong. In fact, when you read the passages in the New Testament about spiritual growth, they are almost never about an individual believer growing. Rather, the Bible describes Christ's church helping each other to grow together. So this here is my son Grant's Boba Fett toy. And don't worry, I didn't just break it. Its parts come off. But you could imagine Grant, if you know him, maybe taking off the hands to try a flying punch on one of the other toys that he's got. But what would you think if Grant only played with the hand and forgot about the rest of the toy? I mean, hand by itself's fine for a little while, but it's missing out on the richness of this whole Boba Fett toy. I mean, look at this thing. The body armor, the jetpack, the cool blaster, capturing Han Solo or battling Luke Skywalker, even falling into the Sarlacc pits. I'm amused, too, that this snake didn't come with the toy, but that he's around Boba Fett's middle right now as well, another toy, so can make a cool backstory about where the snake came from. And so I wonder, as we think about our spiritual lives, whether they reflect more of the hands off on its own or more connection here in Christ's body. Again, hand off on its own is okay for a little bit, but it's missing out on the richness of the body. You know, some of us here might be disconnected hands because we've been hurt by someone in the body of Christ in the past. You know, I get that. Temptation to disengage. I've certainly been hurt by Christians too. Maybe others might think, I'm really all I need to thrive spiritually is to occasionally attend a worship service and not ever get to know anybody here. If that's where you're at this morning, if that's what you think, then 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as well as many other Bible passages, would say to you, no, you're mistaken. You're in need, that you are not good on your own, that you need the body of Christ to thrive spiritually. You know, there's not a single verse in the New Testament that affirms or is even neutral to the idea of a Christian not being in relationship with the other members of Christ's body. You know, you're not going to do well on your own spiritually any more than an amputated hand does well apart from its body. You know, Jesus gave his disciples a new command. He said to love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. But how are you supposed to love like Jesus if you're off on your own, separated all the time from his body, his people? Don't go it alone. It's not going to go well for you spiritually if you do. And if more members of this body of Christ disengage, you know, that impacts the entire body. Because remember, it's not just that you're in need, it's also that you're needed here. And so we want to see the body together, enjoying that fullness of relationship. This morning we've seen that in Christ's body, you belong, you're needed, and you're in need. And so this message this morning is an invitation to participation in Christ's body, to enjoy the fullness of the body of Christ together. Now, it's not always easy to develop good spiritual relationships on our own, and so that's why we have small groups here at the church. And that's our next step this morning, that if you are not connected here in relationships where you're helping others to take next steps with Jesus, and they're helping you to take next steps with Jesus, if that describes your reality right now, then we invite you to try a small group this morning. It matters for your spiritual health, and if you're a parent, it's an important thing as well for you to model for your kids if you want to increase the likelihood of them walking with Jesus for a lifetime. And to take that next step of trying a small group, there's a handout in your program that lists all the adult small groups, when they meet, what they do, who their leaders are. So if you've got a program, I invite you to take it out now and get the handout out. If you don't have a program, we've got more copies of this handout on the table out in the lobby. You can grab one after the service. And I invite you to grab a handout even if you're already in a group, because if you know about all the groups at the church, then you can invite others not only to your group, but if your group doesn't fit their schedule or whatever, then you can invite them to other groups, connect, help others to get connected here as well in those sort of ways. And on top of that, to make things even easier for you to try a small group, we're going to have after this service the small group leaders in the hospitality center down the hall, so you can connect with them there and learn more about their groups. And I want to mention too, one typo on the handout. The Cuppa and Kiddos group, which is on the back side of the handouts, what it says at the beginning there is correct, that they meet most Fridays, but then the three dates that are listed are actually Tuesdays. So we'll have to have a stern talk with whoever made that handout, which is myself. So so it's the dates Cuppa and Kiddos are meeting coming up are the 17th, the 24th, and the 31st. Then Friday is the right day that they meet. So that's the small groups, and then in addition to the small groups, I'm excited to share too this morning that our young adults ministry is reforming. It's being led by Gene and Heather McElroy and by JD and Christy Girard, and so they'll be gathering with young adults to share a meal and about the ministry on Saturday, January 25th at 6 p.m. at Pastor Dave and Kathy's house. So if you're a young adult, you can come connect this morning with those leaders in the hospitality center after the service, and then hope you can also come on the 25th at 6 p.m. to Pastor Dave and Kathy's house. And then you might be asking, okay, or thinking, what if I'm already in a small group? Am I good here, or do I have a next step? And so I've got a next step for you too. Your next step is an invitation to keep living as the body of Christ in your small group, to have that sense of, I belong, I'm needed, and I'm in need. Because, you know, any of us can come to a small group at times struggling, maybe with a sin issue, and might feel some disconnection between God or and ourselves, or between God and us and his people. And what a difference it can make in those sort of moments when we help each other to feel our belonging that we already possess in the body of Christ. And what a difference it makes also when you know that you're needed. And so you can come to your group thinking, you know, the gifts God has given me are needed here. And you can ask God to help you to bring those gifts that day to bless your group. And you can, as you do that, experience over time the truth of Jesus' words, that it's really more blessed to give than to receive. And what a difference it also makes in your group when you know that you're in need. It can help you to come consistently, even on those busy weeks, because you know you need. And it can also help you to open up and to receive support for your struggles, because you know that you were not created to thrive spiritually on your own, and that you don't have to try to do that. And that you can experience over time the gratitude of your group as God works through them to help you to take next steps with Jesus. And so the kind of relationships we've been talking about here this morning, these are not the norm. But as we live them by God's grace, he He will build something great in our church family that also spills out into blessing to the people outside of this church and the community around us. And so thank you for living as Christ's body, Northwest. May we excel still more in it, knowing that you belong, you're needed, and you're in need. So let's pray and ask for God's help with that. Father, we thank you that you are here with us now, that you are always with us. We thank you that you sent your Son, that you loved us that much, that you wanted relationship back with us that much, that it was that important. And we thank you, Jesus, for paying the ultimate price so that we can be in relationship with you and with those around us as we just come and receive by grace through faith that you died for our sins and you rose from the dead, and that we can trust that you've done that for us, and we can start today a relationship with you and with your people. And so we pray that for any who don't yet know you, that they would come to know you by your Spirit's work. And we pray for those in the body who know you already. You know, we're coming from different places, different levels of engagement, different hurts and struggles. I pray that for those who are disconnected, you would give them a breakthrough this morning, that whatever it is about their life or about how they're perceiving things, priorities, whatever things, hurts from past, the pain from the past, whatever all is keeping them from engaging here, we pray that you would break through and touch their hearts in that area, and that you would help them to take that next step and to find healing in life. And we, again, need your Spirit at work, and we need each other to know you and to experience these kind of relationships you've created us for. And so we ask, God, that you would be at the center of everything that happens in this church, and that you would help us to have these kind of relationships with you and each other. And we pray this all, that you would do it for your glory and our good. And we pray this all in Jesus' name, amen.